When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It is Game Time Decisions live on Sports Grid with you on this Thursday night. We begin another week of National Football League action, baby. The Pittsburgh Steelers will be hosting the Cleveland Browns. The AFC Pittsburgh coming off of a huge win against the Baltimore Ravens, which really did shake up the North quite a bit. We will also hit your college basketball board tonight, which has some really fun action. Three ranked games. I'm involved in all three tonight, including the beginning out in the Bahamas with Virginia and Tennessee, and then probably your game of the night between Baylor and St. John's. The NBA board offering up a lot more than it did last Thursday. We will poke around and see if there's any juice out there for anyone on the hardwood. But let's get to Browns Steelers. As we said, on a Thursday night here, you have a very important one in the AFC North. Pittsburgh, a 3.5-point road favorite. Total in this one is 36.5. And let's just waste no time getting to the side of this game. This, to me, is all Cleveland. I have seen this spot countless times. I'm sure many of you have as well. This is just not a game the Steelers win, much less cover in my eyes. They get the win against Baltimore. People go, wow, Pittsburgh's legit. They ignore that they were outgained and the turnovers and the missed field goals and the fact that if that was, again, this voodoo Steelers magic they have going on, the Ravens should have blown the doors off of that team, but they can't. They don't do it. It doesn't happen. But it usually then, half of a huge win like that, is followed with a letdown like this. Pair in the Browns getting dominated by Taysom Hill last week in New Orleans. Again, this is a clear Brown spot to me. It really is. The only thing, though, with this low total of 36.5, I'm going to look to take advantage and play a team total on the Browns at 16.5. Some weather in the forecast has dropped this number. I don't think that weather, though, for me, is enough to justify such a low number on the home Cleveland Browns, who last week, despite that 21-point loss, put up over 400 yards of offense on New Orleans. This Browns team can move the ball. They'll move it tonight. But let's zoom out here. Some big picture, specifically on Pittsburgh and what this team accomplished with their victory last week against the Baltimore Ravens. This is a hot Steelers team. A win streak that actually started when Justin Fields had the ball. It's continued with Russell Wilson. They had a double up against New York. The Jets and the Giants, where the initial thought was, that's probably a split. They won both. Then they had to battle off of the bye with Washington and Baltimore. And they were actually dogs in both of those games. They win both of those games. Again, the Steelers have some magic working for them, but it's resulted in a minus 3,000 number to make the postseason. And rightfully so. They have created way too much cushion to miss at this point. Now, the schedule for the Steelers remains tough. They still have another date with Baltimore, a game against Kansas City, two against Cincinnati. Even this game here tonight with the Browns will be no walk in the park, and it's not the only time they see the Browns. I mean, my goodness, look at that schedule. It's AFC North at, are you kidding me? At the Eagles and home against, how is that a schedule? But look, that tough schedule started 2 weeks ago, and they're already 2-0. So for Pittsburgh, the conversation shifts. It's not will they make the playoffs, it's will they win the division, and can they actually make noise when they get to the playoffs? Pittsburgh, for 2 years in a row, has found a way. They've got in and then been destroyed. Will that be their fate once again? This number at minus 160 cashing here, because this is all done, that minus 160 cashing as opposed to the plus 130, that could be the difference. If the Pittsburgh Steelers are your one seed, are your two seed, are your three seed, and get to bring in a Chargers to their building potentially, right? That will shift the expectations mightily for this football team. We'll see what they can do. Tonight's result will go a long way. A loss for Pittsburgh might shoot Baltimore right back to division favorites. Russell Wilson versus Jameis Winston tonight, just like you dreamed of when we got this season underway. Here's the thing for Russ. He's getting the job done. A little bit of the luster has been taken off the last few weeks, but he still clearly knows how to get the ball to George Pickens, and they're winning. That's really all they care about. That is the level that which Pittsburgh has been judging the quarterbacks on, really, anyway. So it's fine. You see the low expectations at 182.5. It's a number Russ should get through. I'll pair him with Jameis in some specials tonight because Jameis can do the heavy lifting. Jameis Winston, like Joe Flacco, has found himself in what is clearly the best QB situation you can be in, unless your name is Deshaun Watson. Winston, three games so far, two of them. He has thrown for 300 yards in a Browns uniform. Flacco last year, 300 yards, 300 yards. It's just constant. So this low number tonight at 215.5, it's not a product of a Pittsburgh secondary that has been playing better, because it has. Keeping Jaden Daniels and Lamar Jackson under their passing yard props in two consecutive games. It's about the weather. That's why we are seeing that number at 215.5. We're going to have Donnie Wrightside join us a little bit later on in studio. You guys know we always defer to Donnie with the weather. The latest is it'll rain, but the wind looks like it will stay at bay. And that is the key to the passing props tonight. These two quarterbacks to combine for 500-plus passing yards is a number that checks in right now at, I believe, plus 500. If you want to sizzle, it's out there. Let's take a look at the running backs here, Najee Harris and Nick Chubb. The interesting spot for me tonight is that neither of the top backs are what really catches my attention. If you look for Najee Harris, his number tonight is at 73.5, and if you look at Nick Chubb, we're at 53.5. Still a big gap there between the two. But it is their complementary pieces that I am drawn towards. Both Jalen Warren and Jerome Ford. Jerome Ford a little bit more than Warren. I saw out there at some shops 31.5 for a rush plus receiving number. Waiting on that number to develop a little bit, maybe become a more widely available. But right now it looks like Jerome Ford is the standalone pass catching back for Cleveland. Pair that with last week, five carries, and I think that is a 10-touch workload that should get him over some number with inside the 30s. I know Jalen Warren tonight has caught some eyes out there. We'll talk about that as well. Pass catchers tonight, the Cleveland situation has been a tricky one to work through. You have Cedric Tillman on one end of it. You have David Njoku on another. Jerry Judy's the player with the highest number of that trio. We know Pickens is the guy when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. His relationship with Russell Wilson has really been the biggest benefit, if you will, to Russ starting. Now, Fields also did start to build up quite the rapport with Pickens. It just feels as if Russ has been able to do that with a bit more consistency. Touchdown market tonight, we are plus everywhere. That, the value of getting a game at 36.5. Plus 110 Najee and plus 150 on Chubb, we are 2-1 or better everywhere else, including your pass catchers. That is because tonight, your passing touchdown markets, it's both QBs over a half, albeit very expensive, but you can tell those expectations have shifted. We'll stick it here. It's Thursday Night Football on Sports Grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As I mentioned, the best bet for me is going to be on this Browns team total over. It's 16.5 at minus 108 juice. Very, very palatable there. This is a Pittsburgh defense that we still seen give that number up on many, many occasions so far this season. It's a Browns offense that has not hit it in two straight weeks. I like the buy low opportunity with a multi-time coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski. Saw some reports out there. Stefanski could be gone maybe at season's end in Cleveland. What a dismal decision that would be by the Browns, though I guess par for the course. Good luck getting anyone of note to sign up for that situation in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson's contract still being an absolute anchor for that team. I actually think that is something that is worth bringing up quickly when it comes to the Browns here, who currently sit at 2-8. We have four 2-8 football teams. Jacksonville currently the worst record in the league at 2-9. The season for the Browns is not really going to be getting much easier the rest of the way. You see that schedule there, multiple games against Pittsburgh. How about the Chiefs? How about the Bengals? A Dolphins team that's gotten a little bit better. You can tell that it is going to be tough for the Browns right now based on the win percentage of remaining opponents. The Browns have the third most difficult schedule left in football, only New England and Chicago in front of them. Basically suggesting that the Browns are live for the NFL's worst record, but more so would be stunning to not see them have a bottom five record at the end of this season, which means the Browns will be in quarterback range. Will the Browns actually be able to draft a quarterback is another question. If you look, the NFL draft odds have continued to move. At one point in the season, we know that this was supposed to be Carson Beck's time. Well, Carson Beck is no longer the top choice. He's hardly one of the top quarterbacks. He's actually found himself down at a 34-1 number to be the first overall pick. It is a quarterback, though, in that top slot. That would be Shedeur Sanders, his teammate, and Travis Hunter, the second option. And that is what stands out. If you are the Browns, are you taking quarterback? Shedeur, Milroe, Cam Ward, Nussmeier of LSU? Or are you looking to help your roster in other areas? Travis Hunter, I know, thinks he could help in a few different areas. I know the idea is he has announced today he is 100% going into the NFL draft, and Travis Hunter wants to play both positions in the pros. Maybe the Browns are the team to let him do that. I wonder if we get a very interesting situation this year with Hunter where he tries to control his landing spot a little to get to an organization that is willing to let him play both. Again, you could end up with a situation like that for Hunter and Sanders. Again, Hunter might want a situation where he gets to play both. Shedeur Sanders, I think, just wants to play on the Vegas Raiders. Simple as that. I just think that is what he's looking for. I still don't know if there are tampering fines when kids in college, but Sanders and Davis at a Vegas Aces game together feels like something that shouldn't necessarily be allowed. I don't know. I kind of, you know, we all try our hand in the lip reading business. There's a conversation, very brief one, that Shedeur had with Aja Wilson. I kind of think he said, I'll see you here eventually. I just think that's where he'd like to be. My point of getting all of this, though, is are the Browns a quarterback team? I don't think so. You know, interestingly, when you look right now at the all these teams kind of drafting at the top, right? Jacksonville with that worst record, not drafting quarterback. New England could have that worst record, not drafting quarterback. And I don't think the Browns will either. And that doesn't necessarily mean that Watson starts next season. It's more the financials of it. Watson's going to be on this roster for at least another 2 years. I don't think a top five draft choice is cheap enough to round out the quarterback room. I think you keep going with the Jameises of the world. Give Jameis the job, but see if you can do it on the cheap to try and keep the room under control. What about the Jets? The Jets draft quarterback? Whether Rodgers is or not on that roster, there's a lot that has to be figured out for that portion of it tonight. But with Jameis Winston, I am going to take a chance on him and Russell Wilson from some combos tonight. These two quarterbacks to combine for 500 passing yards, checks in at 5-1. That was a winning wager on our Monday night game with Stroud plus Cooper Rush. The idea with that wager, first of all, you're getting a lot of value, right? We were getting around plus 460 on Monday night, and there's always pathways there. That's the beauty of that combo where, all right, Stroud stopped throwing. Yeah, well, Rush could only then toss in the game. So I really like that end of it. I also took a chance on each quarterback to record 25-plus passing yards in each quarter. That was at around 7-1. I'm willing to bet against the weather a little here tonight. I'm sure you're not too surprised to hear that. It's something that I am always kind of willing to do when it comes to these games, but especially when I hear the latest around this game, and it does appear that the weather, while it will be raining and we could get some more rush attempts, it does not mean they're not going to be able to throw the ball like we've seen a few other times during games featuring the Cleveland Browns in years past. So we're going to put a little button in that game for now. We're going to have Donnie Wrightside on the desk in a little bit here to get his thoughts on tonight's football game, and also put a little bit of the eye towards the weekend, some of the latest we're hearing around that. We'll get to your college basketball board next. Ranked in St. John's Baylor out in the Bahamas. It's followed by a ranked UT team playing Virginia. My best bet of the night is going to be in that game, so we'll get to that with you after a quick break. It's Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back with you right here on Sports Grid. Let's go through your college basketball tonight. I actually really like your slate here. It starts with Indiana, UNC, Greensboro. This is actually a slate that's been going on all day. I believe we are entering Feast Week here, so you're going to get a lot of college basketball during the day. There was a Drake upset earlier. Drake against Miami. Can't help myself. I don't know. I can't help myself. But they took down Miami. First Drake win in public in a long time, many are saying. We do have, though, Indiana 82.5 as a team total. I think that's a really nice number. Man, that team total's not too far off with what we saw the number be when the Hoosiers were hosting South Carolina. Again, you kind of the dynamics of the game are certainly different here, but I think we're seeing that number stay low just because the Spartans' offense isn't expected to do a lot, but it's creating value on the Hoosiers. That's a way worse defense than South Carolina's. They're very comparable in terms of tempo there. I think this Hoosiers team has looked really solid so far to open up the season. I think it continues here. I like them over the 82.5. We're going to take a chance on an under at 152.5. Between Baylor and St. John's. Let me see. Is this number dropping within the market now? 150.5 here. Listen, you know, it's so funny, man. Everybody's different when it comes to stuff like this. I don't know. People want the numbers to move in their favor. So for me, it's like, oh, great job. I read it right. But obviously, I understand, like, I missed out on 2 points of value there. Maybe you could clip it in game. They hit a three on the first possession. It's certainly a good sign that that's the way it's dropping, but I feel for anybody that's not jumped on it yet and always wants to get the best of the number. It's a spot for me where Baylor scored 104 in consecutive games. That's Tarleton, that's Sam Houston. Who cares, right? The two games against real competition in Arkansas and Gonzaga, their offense was well below expectation. 63 against Gonzaga, and then even in the victory against Arkansas, only scoring the 72 points. I think Baylor's offense, we're still in wait-and-see mode. similar with the Johnnies. They've not played anywhere near this level of competition. I know we try and, you know, people pick on the Bears for their defense. That's in terms of can they win a national championship. That is not as to whether they are better than, you know, 90% of the country, right? This is still a top 50 defense here. These are two top 50 defenses going at it. I also think you have the Johnnies in a pretty rare spot, at least in recent years, and certainly since Pitino took over. You know, Rick's coached in a gazillion big spots before. I'm not saying that that isn't the case, but last year they weren't playing in, over in the Bahamas in games like this in marquee ranked type of action, right? They had a few scrappy dog spots against the UConns and Creightons and Marquettes of the Big East, but this is at a conference. This is big time. This is a top 15 opponent here. Maybe a little tense, a little tight. We're going to take the under. My favorite bet, though, as I mentioned, it's in this game between Tennessee and Virginia. And as always, when I see a Virginia basketball game, my eye darts towards the total. I restrained myself, though, this time. That number between 126.5 and probably as high as 128.5 on the market. I'm taking the Virginia Cavaliers plus 12.5. I think we're getting a really nice number here on the Cavs, who books are still trying to figure out. The Tony Bennett retirement, which came, you know, just weeks before the college basketball season gets underway. You kind of have to shift your expectations now all of a sudden because Bennett, although he's not, certainly was not my favorite coach in the college game, had, you know, he controlled everything about that program. You could see his, you know, the way he wanted them to play each and every night. We understood that when it came to Virginia basketball. They had to drop him a little bit. What does it mean moving forward for Virginia? Well, they went and they played a Villanova team. Yes, a Nova team that's put forward some tough results so far this season, but a Nova team that was a 3.5-point favorite in that game that loses to Virginia by double digits, and Virginia blows through the team total expectations in that one, hanging 70. This is a Tennessee team that just a few weeks ago was catching points at Louisville. Catching points at Louisville. I mean, if we spread math this thing, come on now. Let's call the game pick, which it wasn't. Let's say home court advantage was worth 4, which it probably wasn't either. That would suggest the Vols were 5 points better than Louisville on a home court. Again, it's a bad number. You're still looking to make up a 7.5-point gap between UVA and Louisville, who if they played today, that number's within side 3, and I'd be on the Virginia Cavaliers, quite frankly. I think this number's way too high in a game with a 126.5, 127.5 total here. Give me the 12.5 points with the Virginia Cavaliers. I think they can actually pull the upset here in the Bahamas against the Tennessee Volunteers. NBA board tonight, the big one. We wait and see. Can Wemby get back out there for the Spurs? And can the Lakers keep that win streak going? I think Wemby's actually already out. We got Donnie Wrightside. Join us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live right here. It is game time decisions, and there's been a few big decisions made out in the football world today. There's some high-level recruits. Within the last 15 minutes, we saw Bryce Underwood, the number one overall recruit by ESPN, flip from LSU to Michigan, something that seemingly was in the works for some time. This, to me, a bit of a look, they were never going to get rid of him, but a season saver, if you will, for Sharon Moore, who I thought had a nightmare of a year with Michigan. Quite frankly, that team should not be as bad as they are, and that quarterback situation should not be what it is. But not the only big news. Today we also saw the number 2 player on the ESPN 300 in Julian Lewis make his decision, and he's going to the newest blue blood in college football. That would be Deion's team in Colorado. Joining us on the desk, that would be good old Donnie Wrightside. Yeah. And DRS, I know you have some thoughts on the Julian Lewis decision.
I'm telling you right now, I thought Kevin was going to hit that perfectly, saying he's going to Deion's team. What team is that? We don't know if it's Colorado. Now, hear me out on this. You heard Deion say he's comfortable in Colorado, and he should be. He's already a legend there. He could have a 20-year contract that would be pay him unduly amounts of money. Yep. But understand this. He is a competitor. He's a world champion. He was the best at his position possibly to ever play the game. So you know what that means, Kevin? He loves challenges. He turned around Colorado. Are they going to win a national championship? No. But the expectations were, Dion, your team stinks. You won one game. Ha ha, you only won four. Now it looks like they might make the playoff. He can parlay this, Kevin. Listen to what his agent can do. Pick up the phone, call to any top university that's thinking about firing their head coach. Florida, Florida State, let's start there.
Yeah.
You got Deion Sanders. You got one of the best quarterbacks on the way. How much do you want to pay? And how much would they pay him? Ungodly amounts of money. He is in the driver's seat like something you've never seen before.
So I don't want to be foolish because, Donnie, I thought that this season would end in, you know, I mean, look, the Cowboys job has, you know, that stuff's all started now, which is obviously a whole nother bag.
Yeah.
Am I foolish to feel that this Lewis news suggests Deion sticks at Colorado?
Yeah. Now, here also, the other foot drops. He's due to get a monster extension now. Hey, Colorado, do you like what you saw? We were averaging half a building for the crowds, winning one game. I've turned this around. We're bringing more money than we ever brought in before, both in-state and out-of-state nationally. And now I'm going to get you a five-star quarterback, which means my game plan was never, I'm looking to move on. Now, granted, whether he does, that's a different story.
Yeah.
But you would have said to yourself, hey, Deion, what's those recruiting classes looking like coming up? And he's like, they're coming along good, knowing that he has an escape hatch. He now has himself an anchor plan with a great quarterback. Show him the money.
So, to me, I'm not, like, I'm being dead serious. I think he's the most job security in all of football.
Could be.
Because it's Colorado.
Where are they going? They lose. Where are they going? Sean Lewis? Where are they going after this?
Here's the thing, right, DRS? He had all that job security once he put them in terms of a spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
They are favorites to make the playoff.
Yes.
Like, if you compare right now, who has more sway and power in the college football landscape? Mm-hmm. Deion Sanders, Dabo Sweeney?
Yeah.
It's Deion in a rout. And Dabo is at Clemson? You got to be kidding me. For me, Donnie, I wondered, and this was really at a peak for me when he lost to Nebraska, where I was like, all right, it's going to be a 6-6 year. Sutter leaves, Travis leads, and it's going to be, he was already getting some decent recruits in, but look, his in with Shadur is obviously next level. The fact that he might now be able to run it up, Donnie, and he gets that coveted Lincoln spot that you and I used to talk about of, I just got to win the Big 12 every year.
Yes.
Because now I would be stunned, assuming he's back, if Deion is not the favorite to win the Big 12 next season with Colorado, which means an automatic CFP berth every year.
Sometimes we don't know how good things work out. Like, the collapse of the Pac-12 actually helped the teams that weren't really competing for championships, per se, in the Pac-12. Now you go to the Big 12, it's like, okay, well, we have really good teams there. A few of those really good teams left, and you fill those shoes in, which you're right. The name of the game now with the expanded playoff is, can I get my team to the playoff every year? Because if you have a legitimate chance to do that, you are going to get paid by your athletic director. And the point, again, being, if Deion leaves Colorado, where does that leave him? Deion's agent calls him. Hey, look, we're looking to stay another 3 years. Here's what we want. I don't know if we can afford that. Oh, you can afford going back to one win and being absolutely irrelevant in the Big 12? No, he sits perfectly.
Yeah.
He's done the masterful job, and this also ensures him security. But as I say this again, big schools are going to call. Warm weather schools are going to call.
Yeah.
SEC schools are going to call. He's going to answer that phone.
My only thing is, I don't think he leaves for Auburn, for example, Donnie, because he's the king of the mountain in that Big 12 now, which I wouldn't have thought would be possible, Donnie. But he really is. Now, again, I think Florida State is a completely different thing with his history, obviously, with FSU. I'm not sure. I mean, what about the NFL stuff? Like, do you actually think the Cowboys are going to call him? And do you think he would go if they did call him?
Eventually, he will make his way to the big time in the NFL. I just think the iron and the money could be so great in college, because also think about what Deion is. His advantage is he can talk to any kid in the country, any family in the country, and get that kid. You can't do that in the NFL.
I agree.
That's his advantage.
I think the only reason for him to go to the NFL would be to coach Shadur. So I think it's this year a bust, actually, with the NFL of it, which is why the Dallas thing is all so puzzled. Like, they're not drafting Shadur Sanders.
It's impossible.
They have Dak Prescott.
Yes,
who
it's impossible.
Just paid. I can't envision that. Now, I fully believe that they are going to see if they can get Shadur to Vegas. I fully believe that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means giving Deion that job. At which point, though, and this is where I feel foolish, if you will, Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Deion goes to Florida State or anywhere else, he can bring Julian Lewis with him.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot bring Julius with him to the Vegas Raiders.
Correct.
Like, How do you get this kid's commitment and then leave this offseason to the NFL?
But here's the thing, though. You secure that commitment. If Deion leaves, he goes, free agent, who wants me? And those cash registers start hitting hard from coaches at schools that absolutely might be fired unless they get a top quarterback, a la Michigan, which we'll probably talk about. So Deion is like, what a Christmas gift for him and his family to secure that, because that secures Deion's future as one of the highest paid college football coaches, because make no mistake about it, regardless of how this year ends, he is going to get paid either from Colorado or another school.
Yeah, I truly, like, he is one of the forces of college football. I said that when that, like, I watched the decision when he announced it, the kid, and I legitimately was like, wow. Like, I knew they were in the race, but, like, man, that is a big, big deal. Just to quickly on the Michigan thing, that is a Wolverines team that I bought into preseason. Mm-hmm. I thought there was value. I thought that with them playing some of their tougher games at home, like Oregon and Texas, they could kind of keep their heads above water. Yeah. It has not been difficult to figure out what went wrong for this team, mostly the quarterback position, which, I like, how much of that then maybe, Donnie, now taking the step back, just lands on Harbaugh and when he left, and now clearly they've figured it out a year later with this kid Underwood coming in for Sharon Moore.
Yeah, and also, forget about how good a coach Harbaugh actually is, because what really changed, yes, they lost a kid to the NFL, but J.J. McCarthy wasn't the gunslinger we all love, like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and again, Sharon Moore, credit him, the kids love him, they bought in, but his bellwether games where, hey man, we didn't even throw the football in the second half, that's not an offensive coordinator. Yeah. Anybody could have done that. Yeah. Hey, we're more dominant, keep handing the football off. That's what you're seeing now, but look, if you're mad at what Michigan did, get with the times. We're mad because LSU lost a player to Michigan? It wasn't as if, like, oh, the kid loved to go to Colorado State and they lost in the USC because of all the money. No, these are big guns fighting big guns with each other.
Which, and let me just say this. So to me, the kid flipping is just, Michigan clearly gave him like an NFL contract, right?
$10 million, it said today.
Did they?
Yeah.
Good grief, man. But awesome. Good for him. I actually, so Julian Lewis decommitted from USC.
Yes.
Like, again, I think Underwood just got paid more. Lewis committed from USC because they're bad now. Mm-hmm. And Miller Moss left in the middle of the season. And while I think Malachi Nelson made a disastrous decision by going to Boise, like, he also left USC. I got to tell you, DRS, if those NFL phones are still hot for Lincoln Riley, he should go.
Yeah.
Because the college stuff has all of a sudden completely worked against him now, and it's not going to get easier, it doesn't seem like.
And we thought he made the right move. Like, man, get out of Oklahoma before they get the SEC. Then he goes to the Pac-12. Like, I'm going to rule this. He goes, no. Now you're in the big. Oh, no. Now I lost out on everything at this point. Yeah. So he's going to get paid quite well if they buy him out. But that was a tough move, which I thought was a great move.
Yeah, I don't know. Lincoln Riley to the Dallas Cowboys. I still think there could be something there. Time will tell. Let's get to your Thursday nighter, Brown Steelers, next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, they are announcing the MVP awards for baseball today. Any interest? Any care?
We talked about it on the early line this morning. It was like, hey, the Cy Youngs, nobody cares. Nobody remembers. Like, you said, oh, that's right, that guy won it. Yeah, way to celebrate your biggest athletes when absolutely nobody cares about the team and the athlete now. You announce Aaron Judge wins the MVP award while he's still in the playoffs, fantastic. You announce it now, nobody cares.
It's just also so bizarre because, like, a lot of these awards, Donnie, there was, like, no suspense.
Yes.
Like the Cy Young, the MVPs and all of it all. But that Judge won the AL MVP.
Yeah, hold on.
Ohtani's going to win in a minute.
Yeah, they're showing him on another network right now, Aaron Judge. He should be in front of 50,000 fans in his uniform getting a standing ovation to a juiced home environment in the playoffs, and he's probably by himself in Florida somewhere. What an awesome night for baseball.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, why is he, like, doing media rounds? Like, well, I don't even understand the, like, he, again, being
They called him at 12 noon. You won. Keep it quiet. We're going to send the cameras over to your house. Completely anticlimactic and completely, like, when Joel Embiid won the MVP for the 76ers, like, he's crying. The crowd's crying. It's awesome stuff. And instead you get him solo. I don't even know where he's at. In a parking lot? Where is
AirPods,
he? Mike, just, exactly. Hey, I'm at the airport right now.
Let's just, I'll leave it alone.
Yeah.
Looks like he's wearing a crossing guard outfit, the other guy down here.
Yeah.
This other guy. Like, I don't even understand what's going on. All right, we'll leave it at that. Let's get to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Brown Steelers. So people have been waiting on Weatherman right side here. What's the latest out of Cleveland?
If you're watching the game right now on TV, trying to get some updates here, it looks like it's pretty clean tonight. Barely a little bit of slow flakes out there. Wind's not moving around. Understand this. As the night goes on, the winds will slowly increase. Earlier today, we were looking at conditions where it was like, hey, you know what? Those big winds might not be to 11 o'clock or later. And it looks like some of the forecasts coming in, the wind is going to pick up early. But I'm telling you right now, we've been read a doomsday scenario all day long. It doesn't look like that right now. Now, am I saying that once we turn on the game, nobody can kick field goals and throw the football? Maybe so. It just doesn't look like doomsday scenario right now, Kevin. So if you're looking at some of those numbers, hey, they can't throw the ball tonight. Or, hey, man, you better load up on the running backs. So it'd be 75 carries for each team. I don't think that's going to be the case. Yeah. Play at your own peril, but it's not a doomsday scenario like some we're talking about.
Yeah, which is why for me, DRS, like I took some shots on, like, oh, if we're clean tonight, you know, I took the 500 plus 500, like, plus 500 for 500 combined, Donnie. I think with these quarterbacks is a great number here. What have you started to key on for the game?
Really for myself, if I bring up some of the parlays, I'm trying to buy low in this game. And some of those make sense. Like saying, all right, do you want running backs out of the backfield to run the football? Yeah. You probably do. I'm looking opposite as that. I'm saying to myself, if there are some windy conditions, are we throwing the ball consistently 20 yards down the field over the middle into double coverage? No, we're not. You know what we're doing, Kevin? Oh, look, my main read isn't open. Where is my running back here? Jaylen Warren, over 10.5 receiving yards to 12.5 receiving yards, makes a ton of sense in this game. Also, have you seen David Njoku's numbers since Jameis Winston has come back into town? Absolutely phenomenal. Targets all over the place, yards all over the place. And I say this repeatedly. Who is your best friend in the game that might have wind? The shortest pass over the middle to an athletic tight end that can beat his man. And also, how about this one? You want tight ends? I'm looking tight ends for Pittsburgh. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't Pat Freiermuth tonight. Darnell Washington, over 10.5 receiving yards. He's averaging 12 yards per catch on the season. He's run 35 pass routes in the past two games. So all I'm looking for, essentially, is one catch in this environment tonight. I think he gets it. By the way, Donnie, why don't you go Freiermuth? To be easy. Did you see his last three games? Hasn't even got 20 yards in the last three games. Hasn't reached that pinnacle, and his number is 20.5. Give me Darnell Washington tonight to at least get to 11 yards.
All right. I like a little look there on some Darnell Washington. I actually did some additional digging on a name you tossed out to me this morning of Jerome Ford.
Yes.
I like what I'm seeing.
Donnie,
I need the rushing plus receiving number. They don't throw the ball to Nick Chubb at all.
No.
Like, you know how like Derek, like clearly somewhere in the contract Derrick Henry signed with the Ravens, I don't want to catch the football.
Yes.
Chubb, very, very similar there, Donnie. So to me, I saw 31.5 out there, but it was like minus 155 to the over. Which is like
for rushing and receiving,
which doesn't make sense. Like that's not how props work. Like give me the 33, and I'm not paying minus 155 for that
for a couple yards.
Yeah, I'm waiting just to kind of get a cleaner number up. Let me see if they've.
He was my guy. I won two bets on him early in the season before Chubb came
34.
Back, and he hit a lot of those late in the game. Like man, what's he doing? He's got 15 yards rushing. Oh, 37 yard run there. It makes sense tonight to take running backs out of the backfield. I think you can have some serious work.
Yeah, I'm seeing 33.5. That's likely the number I'll jump on there, and just kind of. Again, I think there's a lot of pathways there. Last week, he was given, I think, 5 carries. He was at 2 yards a clip, which is terrible. I get 3 yards a clip on 5 carries.
Correct.
That's half of the workload that I'm looking for there, which is
Chubb
not
on a short week? Like, come on now. This is his go-to. I'm going to carry 35 times in a wet environment. That's the last thing you want Nick Chubb to do tonight.
And you're a 2-8 football team.
Correct.
Right? Like, you'd be crazy to run him like that on a short week. I couldn't agree more, Donnie. So I'm going to be looking for some Jerome Ford here. In terms of the Pittsburgh outlook here. Do you, I've seen a few times and we're like, listen, I don't know what happens with the number, but they're going to win this game.
Yes.
How do you feel about in terms of the result tonight on Pittsburgh?
Yes. I think in what way though?
Like,
I think
you
win.
Like, but like confidently or like, okay, I know it's different, but like, remember when, again, the KC Tampa game, you're like, listen, the Bucs are not winning the game.
Correct.
Right. How live do you think the Browns are tonight?
I think it's similar to that. Because the one thing with Arthur Smith for me is he comes right from Mike Tomlin tells him what to do. Let's make no bones about that.
Yeah.
But I just look at the better football team tonight on a short work week. Like, what does Cleveland have to do tonight to beat the Steelers? Jameis throw for 275, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions? Like, Cleveland can be rocked on defense right now. And it's not as if Cleveland's like, hey, guys, we're still playing with an outside chance to make the playoffs. They are dead and buried tonight. And the Jameis Winston bump that you got for that Ravens game is completely gone. It's gone.
So last week, Donnie, they had 400-plus yards of offense. So I looked this up. there have only been six games this year where teams had over 400 yards of offense and less than 17 points. So it's a real outlier that they did not put more points on that board up against New Orleans. I'll tell you, man, look, compare him to Fields. That's irrelevant now, right? Like, he's the quarterback. We got it. He was not good last week at all against Baltimore. No. And that is a secondary that everybody tries to pick on. I want to see what we get out of Russ tonight, Donnie, because, again, I still think we kind of are the
Here's what you want. You need a running mate out of Jameis Winston tonight. If Jameis is bad early and this game is slowed down, you know Mike Tomlin goes, hey, offense, let's take a timeout tonight. Jameis scores on his first drive, we're going to be popping it.
Yes, I think that's a fair point. All right, let's get some big picture outlook, including the latest out of San Francisco.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back to you right here on Sports Grid. Man, DRS, there's some big picture stuff going out there in the National Football League, including San Francisco right now. All of a sudden, looks like there's some worry about whether Brock Purdy's available. Green Bay's up to a field goal favorite now in that football game. I mean, what's interesting is how much do you move a number if there's no Brock Purdy, I guess, is the trick.
How about no Brock Purdy? How about it looks like no Bosa on the outside? How about even no Trent Williams is what they're saying now as well? You might be looking at the concrete four that aren't going to play in this game. And I said this before, too, with San Francisco. You don't just turn the injuries off like, oh, they're through their injuries. No, they usually get worse, and they are. They're 5-5. They are staring down the barrel being under 500. Who do they have the week after this, by the way?
Oh, it's tall, and I'm pulling it up right now. I don't know it
It's the Packers, and it's somebody tough right off the bat.
Oh, at Buffalo.
There you go. You might be like 5-7 for it, but don't worry. They go to 5-7, they'll probably be the favorites to win the Super Bowl in the odds.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
That's
now's the time to take them. Value, they're good.
So this team's plus 176. Oh, wow. They shifted that a lot. I didn't know they did that. The Niners are minus 220 to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't they still have the third best odds to win the conference? Oh, they shifted them down quite a bit. Like, they have the fifth best odds to win the conference, and they're minus 220 to miss the playoffs?
Yeah, they're going to be 5-7, and then they're going to have to turn into nobody wants to face the Niners if they make the playoffs. We're going to get to that as their angle now to be tough. It's just a tough season for the Niners. Sometimes you just get injured. And also, are we guaranteed that McCaffrey's going to be healthy the rest of the way?
But sometimes you get injured. But, Donnie, I don't think their season's been, like, riddled by injuries. Do you?
I don't know. Lost Ayuk. You know, you're still waiting for your linebackers to come back from last year's injuries. I mean, they have had a lot of – Hufanga also.
Who showed up for, like, a week.
Exactly. Hey, I'm ready to go, guys. Oh, where's that guy again? I haven't seen him in weeks at this point. They are just injured and continually getting injured even more.
You know what it is? But they also have – two horrific losses on their plate, which were the Rams and Cardinals losses where they blew monster leads.
Yeah,
I mean, even Seattle, they kind of had dead to – they've blown three games in their own – or two of them in their own building to divisional opponents that they probably should have won all football games.
Yeah.
Well, now all of a sudden what? You're sitting there at 8-2. You're like, all right, they're the best team in the world.
And you can ride out those injuries. You can't ride them out at 5-5.
No, you absolutely cannot. Here's the other thing that's been going on. Daniel Jones – comes out, he makes a statement
today. I don't know what world we're living in,
And so, listen, Daniel Jones making a statement because his tenure is done with the Giants. I'm fine with that. His tenure is done with the Giants. Now, if you're the Giants, that's crazy to let him make that statement.
Yes.
Like, you don't make that statement until the season's over, pal. I saw one tweet that said, man, I can't believe this. This guy did everything right for this franchise. He did what? He did everything what for this franchise? Yeah. He's been atrocious. It's built into the contract. They're making sure he doesn't get another year of money that he's not worth.
What? Yes.
I can't. People feel bad for this guy.
No, why? He won. Like, I always talk about the coach got fired after the first year of a five-year contract. He won. He's got four more years. Daniel Jones just got $80 million for 2 years to stink up the joint. And you know what? He's going to be a backup in the NFL for another decade at millions and millions and millions of dollars each year. But I got to tell you, how does he take the podium as, thanks for letting me play here, and somebody's like, hey, Daniel, there's like eight games left. Like, are you done? Did they let you show up to practice? Are you allowed to throw footballs? Because he even said today, which is the crazy part, Kevin, you do know, like, if he's in a game and gets injured, that's one thing. But if he's at practice, and blows his knee out or his Achilles, it's the same amount of money.
Yeah, I don't.
Why aren't they just send it? You write it up in the contract. You don't have to show up. If you do, we will penalize you.
Yeah.
If you ride a motorcycle, if you go skiing, if you hurt yourself ice skating, you will be liable for your own contract. Because if he practiced, because they eventually told him, what did Daniel Jones do in practice today? He worked on the side and just threw the football. They don't want this guy moving.
So I ended up getting this the year exact. Donnie, like, we talk about, like, did everything right. I know you remember this. There's no way you weren't given hot fire takes when this was going on. You remember when they benched Eli?
Yes.
And broke his consecutive game streak for Geno?
Yes.
And Geno was so bad they put Eli in next week.
Loved it.
By the way, Eli didn't retire at the end of that year.
No.
He played another 20 games.
Yes.
25 games after that. Like, Daniel Jones isn't a Giants legend. He will be remembered for all the wrong reasons. They're doing exactly what they should.
What a stand-up guy. Boy, that was classy. The whole Giants organization, also, I love the fact that Drew Locke was like, I'm brought in to be the number two. Practicing as the number two, and now I'm not the number two?
Let me tell you this. The Drew Locke, because I've not agreed with you the full way about firing like Shane and Dable and all that.
Yes.
Until the Drew Locke thing. Drew Locke, okay, being like, well, I thought I was brought in here. You know what? Why were you brought in here?
Yes, correct.
Why did they pay you any money with any incentives?
Yes.
Like you were ever going to be on that football team for anything other than to get in for the injured or not get injured Daniel Jones. Madness. I like how we closed it out, though. Donnie Reitzak, Kevin Walsh will be with you for the in-game coverage, joined by Joe Lisi. Your pregame show with Casey Hudson starts now.